Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Spiritual Connections Radio. This is Pam Latour. I am acting host tonight as Mark is in New Jersey. I seem to have a problem. Mark called in a little while ago, and when he clicked out, there was no sound at all. He froze my board. So I might have to click out and click back in again. Mark is not calling in, and neither is my guest tonight, which is Jerry Gavin. He should be back on in just a second, so I'm going to click out here and start over again, see if I can call in. Thanks. Hold on just a minute. On. Everybody there?
Hello.
Hi, there we are. We have set up the board again for me. But we're back on. Everything's good. Jerry, are you there?
I'm here.
Great. Okay, well, we're ready to go. Sorry about the little snag, but we're going strong now. So, Mark, you want to take over as the host? You're here.
Sure. Sure. Hey, Jerry, how you doing?
Good, Mark. How are you doing?
Good, good. I'm actually down in your neck of the woods. For the people who have been watching the website and everything else, I'm actually down at the Mind Body Spirit Expo, which is going to be running in Edison, New Jersey, this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So for our listeners out there that are in the New Jersey area, feel free to stop by the Deb King booth and say hello. I'll be doing healing work and readings and chakra readings and everything else this weekend. So look forward to anybody that's stopping by. And I'm back in your backyard there.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So go ahead, Pam, and take the lead. Why don't you introduce Jerry, give some background on him, and talk about what we're going to be going over tonight.
Well, this is going to be a fascinating show. Jerry's been with us before, Jerry Gavin. He was with us about, I think it was a few months ago, and we talked about a book that he wrote called Messages from Margaret, and the whole show was about angels, and it was one of the most fascinating, interesting shows we've done. Well, tonight he's back. And he's going to talk to us about something completely different, or everything is tied in, so maybe it's not completely different, but it's a different subject. We're going to talk about soul retrieval. And Jerry, why don't we start with, finding out a little bit about you for our listeners that hadn't heard the first show. Can you tell us who you are, what kind of work you've done, and why you're interested in this type of work?
Sure, definitely. When we did the last show, I talked to you about the kind of the way I was introduced to all of this, and to do really the Reader's Digest version of it, up until about 1990, I was very much a skeptic of anything paranormal. Had a situation where I was looking, because of economic reasons, kind of looking to share a place, and met a friend who had a house that she had just bought, and went to share that house with her, you know, renting a room in the house, only to find out that the house was incredibly haunted. So in the process of trying to learn about clearing that energy, something happened in doing the actual ceremony to clear the energy. There were things that really opened up in me, a level of perception to other energy that I had never had before. And I really fought it, like, tooth and nail in the beginning. I didn't want anything to do with it. So I fought and fought and fought. excuse me. I wound up going to massage school with Gail, who's now my girlfriend, and did that again. Very practical person. I did it primarily just because I was looking for an additional income, and I liked the fact that, you know, it was healing work. In the course of learning about that, the teacher that we were working with was also very gifted in a number of other cross-cultural healing techniques. And she had studied with Native American shamans and Latin American shamans. And shamans, for folks who might not know what they are out there, shamans are basically the healers, the priests, if you will, the spiritual go-between for a tribal people. They're the people who would help you to find out where you were out of balance in your body, in your mind, in your spirit, and how that could then be manifesting itself in health issues or depression issues or issues in terms of things just being very, very out of sorts in your life. And that led me into studying shamanism more so, and I went on to learn about things like shamanic journeying, power retrieval, soul retrieval, and other shamanic arts, learning how to balance energy within the body, learning when someone had actually, whether they were storing cellular memory in their body or they had actually lost it in another place in time. And that eventually, Pam and Mark, got me to that point where I opened up to communication with angels, and that led to meeting Margaret and writing the book eventually called Messages from Margaret, in which she shares an incredible amount of information with the world about how things came to be, how they are right now, and where things are going. So we spoke a lot in that last interview about the messages from Margaret and the direction of that. But Mark had asked me in this particular show to speak a little more about the shamanic end of the work that I do, and in particular to talk about the process of soul retrieval.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds phenomenal. Tell us, let's start with what soul retrieval is.
Okay. So I think to understand soul retrieval, we sort of have to start with maybe just a little basic explanation of the soul. I'll backtrack just for a moment to talk about the soul as it's described in Messages from Margaret, because Margaret, the angel Margaret, has an amazing way of helping to describe things in very down-to-earth ways. And I had always thought and always imagined that the soul was something that kind of inhabited the body, that when life came into our body, the soul entered our body, and that it then left when, you know, we left this lifetime and either reincarnated into another body. But I always kind of thought of the soul in terms of being an energy, for want of a better term, that was sort of the same size as the body, you know, maybe a little bit bigger than it included our ethereal field outside of the body. But she describes the soul as something so much more immense. And what she says is that our souls are literally this huge energy field. And it has its own individual consciousness, which is the actual DNA markers that we talk about in our body, that our bodies have particular DNA. She talks about that it's actually the soul that has a particular DNA. It has an energy that's clearly identifiable as our souls. And we decide through our free will to take pieces of our soul, to take sections of that consciousness, and to place it within different things, different life forms at different times. So part of our soul right now might be inhabiting a tree, it might be inhabiting a dog, it might be inhabiting the air that we breathe, it might be inhabiting the clouds. But another piece of that consciousness, another piece of that soul, is inhabiting our bodies and our consciousness that is here on this planet at this point in time. And what will happen if we sort of can accept that general concept of the soul, then what it means is that the larger part of our souls, and that's the thing sometimes we refer to as our higher self, the larger part of our soul is always existing. It's always there at all times and is communicating with and watching what's happening and sharing data back and forth with those soul pieces that are out there, with the part of it that's inhabiting the person or inhabiting something else. So if we start with that point of view, then we have a portion of this soul energy exists within this life form called Pam or called Mark right now or called Jerry. And that is what makes up our life force, our energy. That's what gives us the ability to live and to walk and to move and to breathe and to have our unique personality, our unique mark on the world that we all have. Because obviously we're all interconnected, but we all have this very unique take on things. We have these unique voices and unique features. And that's that part of it, that part of that DNA of the soul is what makes us up. So we make that decision and we put that part of our soul energy into this form, and that gives us life, and that allows us then to, you know, start our wireless existence, our non-connected existence to anything else, having a life force. And we begin to experience our life. We start to have all different kinds of experiences, from the time that we're a young child through to our adulthood. And some of those experiences are wonderful experiences, and some of those experiences might not be what we would consider wonderful. Some of them can be very, very traumatic experiences. Now, the brain of our body, our brain that actually causes everything to function within the body, interacts with the soul, but the brain's primary job is to basically be the overall protector of the body. The brain sees to it that everything in the body is working in the right way. It sends out all the right messages to the heart and to the other organs of the body. It's constantly reinventing the cells of the body. And its prime directive is at all costs to preserve the life force of the body, and to try to keep some sense of balance and homeostasis within the body. So what the brain will do is, at certain times when a circumstance happens that's just too much for our consciousness to handle at any given time, the brain will act just like a computer, and it will say, okay, what I need to do is I need to quarantine this information so that it's not too much stimulus and the brain doesn't overload and shut things down. So it will protect the body by quarantining whatever information is really damaging. So when we're thinking of information, what I'm really talking about here is memory. One of the things that I learned through shamanic bodywork, and I think it's something not only known in shamanism, but now it's known throughout the world of medicine as well, is a memory is not only just stored in your brain. It's stored throughout your body. We even know of that because they talk about things like muscle memory. And there are people who have amputations who still feel as though their legs are still there or their arms are still there because they have that memory of those organs. But what the brain will do in some cases when it's trying to quarantine this information is it splits up the cells of that memory and it sends it to different parts of the body so that it can be stored in a safe place where we're not going to easily access it. And sometimes what that will actually wind up doing is causing illness to the body because there will be cells in the body where they don't belong. In medicine, we sometimes refer to these cells as free radicals. They're cells that just don't make sense in the construction of what's going on with the rest of the body. But then there are other times that an experience can be so traumatic that the brain will actually instruct the body to take that memory and totally remove it, totally quarantine it from the whole energy that's around the body itself. So it would be like if we were talking in computer terms, you know, when you have an antivirus software, it will take a virus and it will quarantine it within the computer. This would be as though it could take the virus and say, it's not even safe to have this in the computer. We're going to quarantine this information in the clouds. And that's what happens in the situation of soul loss. A portion of your soul, a portion of your life force literally is taken from your current energy, taken from what's helping your body to survive and thrive. And it is sent to the clouds, so to speak. It's sent outside of your energy field to a place where you have no ability to access that information. And what can be done through the process of soul retrieval is that I go in and work with that person and find that information and bring it back when it's in the best interest of the person to be able to move forward and to heal something and to have more strength and power to their being.
Fascinating. Jerry, when you're working with someone, and say I come to see you and I have an issue with something, and how do you find out, first of all, that there is a soul loss problem? And the second question added to that is, once you find that out, how do you go about retrieving the soul and bringing it back together?
Well, I think to start off with, in almost everyone who is here on this planet at this time has experienced some level of soul loss during their lifetime. And I say that because when we talk about a traumatic experience, it's sometimes what you and I might look at now as being a traumatic experience is very, very different from how we may have viewed that situation when we were 4 or 5 years old. You know, now, like, for example, I'll give an example from one soul retrieval session that I did. And one of the pieces that left when the little girl was 4, and she was forced to leave a neighborhood that she lived in where she had great, great friends and was so happy. Everything about her life was so happy. And she was just uprooted from that situation and forced to go live somewhere else where she didn't know anyone else. And she was so overwhelmed with the grief by that a piece of her soul literally left and stayed in that time frame. And that's the type of thing that can happen when you have pieces of soul loss. So one of the first things that I'll do when we're consulting beforehand is to get a sense of the type of things that are happening within your life. What are the issues that you're going through at a given time? What are the health issues that are happening? What are the psychological issues that you might be going through? What type of things are going on? And then I will actually ask for spiritual guidance on that to find out where is this information stored? Is that information stored in the body at this point, where the cellular memory was just quarantined to parts of the body, and can we access it there? Or is that information beyond the body, and does it exist in another plane where we would go in and do soul retrieval in order to be able to access that information? And then once I would know that, then I would come back to you and say, listen, this is what I've learned and what I've been able to perceive of your situation. These are the options of how we can handle it, and put that then into your hands to be able to make a decision of, you know, which direction you would want to go. And that's a really, really important piece of the PAM, because soul retrieval can't be done for you because I feel like doing it, or because your mom might see, you know, something in you that she really wishes could change so that you could be a happier person. It has to happen because you are seeking to bring those soul pieces back to you. So there has to be your will and your desire to do this in order for it to be a powerful experience and for you to consciously want to be able to do that. And then if we were doing soul retrieval, there's two different ways that that can be done. One is that it can be done in person, and then a second way is that it can actually be done remotely as well. And we could talk about both those ways if you would like to.
Yeah, I would like to, but before we go there, I have a question about the choice that you give the person in terms of we can go. I'm not quite sure I have what the options are. Well, number two, I know we can go in and retrieve that information from wherever it is. What's the first option? Or didn't I get that straight at all?
What I was saying is that those memories that might be affecting your life, the cellular memory that you might have sequestered somewhere in order, and when I say you, I'm talking about that your brain has sequestered somewhere, could be in one of two places. They could be stored within your body, actually existing within your body,
okay.
Or they could have left your body. They could.
I see.
And that's when you kind of make the decision of one or two different methods to be able to handle that. In the case of something that is in the body, that's done through a different type of work where we would actually do a form of shamanic body work to try to identify where in the body those things are located and to remove it from your body. In the other case, we would actually be doing the soul retrieval to go and find where that information has gone to, where in what space and time it's been left, and then retrieve it and bring it back. So
that's fascinating. So when you do go and retrieve it, you know, a few weeks ago we were talking to another guest who was also a shaman and did a little bit of work like this, and what he was saying was there was an underworld that he went to. Now, I know different tribes, different systems do it different ways. Is that part of your belief system as well?
When you're doing soul retrieval, you could actually be going to different worlds. In shamanic journeying, there are three different levels that you can journey to. You can journey to the lower world, which is basically a place different than this particular lifetime, different than this perception of what we have on this plane, where it is very, very connected with the earth. And part of that journey is actually going kind of deep within the recesses of existence as we know it. And there's the middle world, which is very, very much akin to what we see and feel and hear, but it's as though it's a dimension that's existing just to the side of it, you know, where we don't see it, we don't feel it, we don't understand it, but it's right there, and it's a very similar plane. And then there's the upper world, which is more journeying as though you're in a spatial sort of a situation, you know, something that is more involved in the heavens. The interesting thing, maybe to make it more easily understood, I could kind of describe the process of what I'll do with someone if they come to me for soul retrieval. And that might help to understand those different worlds or how the journey might work for me. Is that okay? Can I?
Absolutely. I think that's a great idea.
Okay. So let's say you come to me and we've talked about the fact of doing soul retrieval, and that's something that you decided that you would like to do. One of the first things that we would do is, before we go into the process of doing the soul retrieval, we would do a little ceremony beforehand, which is basically a prayer. And it's a prayer that I'll say, and it's a prayer that you'll say. And this piece is really important to me, and I think you brought up a great point, Pam. Sometimes different practitioners do soul retrieval in different ways. One of the things that I've come to realize is that some of the things that I do in soul retrieval may be not very easily understood to someone who comes from a different belief system. If you've grown up and you're a Catholic or a Presbyterian, or you've grown up in the Jewish tradition, to do something spiritual that's tied into things that have more of a Native American or a Latin American or other form of a background can be frightening for people. So we always started off with a prayer that comes from your belief system, from what are your strongest roots and beliefs in terms of your spiritual connection. So that prayer on your part might be sent to God, it might be sent to angels, it might be sent to saints, it may just be ancestors. It may be that you might be calling upon relatives who've gone on before, and you're just asking for their help in being able to access these pieces of your soul that are missing, and to be able to, you know, to ask them for whatever help and protection, you know, they might be able to offer. And I will say that prayer to my guides, and you would say that prayer to yours. Now, I'm going to do this from the point of view as if we were in the same room together, and then I can kind of explain later about how it also works remotely. But if we were in the same room, what we would do at that point is on the floor, we would lie down on a rug and connect with each other, next to each other, so that we were touching at the shoulder, hip, and ankle. And at those three points of connection, when you're doing this in a live physical level, it kind of creates, almost if you could picture it looking at that, almost like a figure eight of energy that's going on between the two people who are involved in this. And at that point as well, I will put on some drumming music. And there's drumming that's very specifically used for shamanic purposes. It's a very steady beat, you know, that's going on at a particular beat for a certain number of seconds. But it's really useful in helping me to be able to enter a trance state very quickly. Mm-hmm. When I do soul retrieval, there generally is one animal guide who has come to me, I'm going to say 99% of the time. There is a rare occasion that a different guide will come forward. But this particular animal spirit guide is a tiger, and I've learned that the tiger's name is Matume. And when I'm entering this trance state, what will happen is that as my eyes are closed, visions of things will start to come up. And generally, the first thing that will happen is there's some place I'll feel myself moving. It may sometimes be that I'm moving into the lower world, where I'll feel myself being drawn through some type of a tunnel and then coming out into a landscape where there may be tall grass and the tume is within that grass. Other times I'll find myself moving at a very rapid speed, and I may come out to something that looks just like here, you know, just normal type of a situation where I'll come into a suburban neighborhood, and there's something about that suburban neighborhood that's very important. Or other times I'll travel through through space very quickly, and you'll feel as though you're flying in a plane or flying over mountains and then flying into the upper atmosphere and going to another location, or just purely in darkness, where you're kind of traversing darkness. Mitume acts as my guide, and I guess I would say protector as well, but a guide throughout whatever situations will occur to bring me to those places. And the first thing that will happen for me, Pam, the very first thing that I get is an age. It will always pop up before the actual vision of that time pops up. And so the number 21, let's say, excuse me, I'm sorry, the number 21, for example, will pop into my head. So I know that this soul piece was lost around the period when this person was 21. And then a vision will come forward about what was the cause of that soul loss. Now, sometimes the vision can be very, very clear and actually kind of historically accurate, where it's something where I get that information and it's very clear about what happened at that point in time, and it was a real situation. Sometimes the information is much more symbolic, but that symbolism still tells the story of what was happening during that period of time. And generally, the person will be there. The visage of what that person would look like during that period of time kind of is pretty clear to me. And I'll speak with that person during that time and explain who I am and what the situation is. So let's say, Pam, you would come to me and you were going through terrible, terrible times with relationships, and you had just been repeating the same pattern over and over and over in relationships. It might have had at its root something that happened much younger, where you lost a piece of your soul, and that's why you're kind of carbon copying all of these relationships. So I'll ask that soul piece, will it come back with me? And if it agrees to come back, you know, we'll just come back at that point. Normally, on a physical level, what I do is I kind of picture myself placing that energy into my hand and then bringing it to my heart and breathing it deep into my heart and then holding that there in sort of a safe place in my heart. And then we move on to the next soul piece and bring that soul piece back, and I take it into my heart, and then the next one. And the number of soul pieces are totally dependent upon what Mitume, what spirit guides who are helping you will say are the right number of pieces to bring back. So for some people, I may go in and it may be two. Other people may have four pieces that are safe to bring back at that particular point in time. And when I say safe, I just mean that when that energy comes back into your body, it won't be overwhelming for you to be able to handle. Because remember, it was that overwhelm in the first place that caused you to lose that energy. You know?
Right. Absolutely.
So we want to make sure that you're able to cope with that energy. When I know all those soul pieces have returned, then what I do is I rise from the next to that person's side, and I'll actually blow that energy into the person's heart center, blowing that energy into them, one for each time, for each soul piece I brought back. And also, I have the person sit up still with their eyes closed, and I blow it into the top of their head. And same type of a situation where we blow that energy in. Then I'll kind of sit right in front of you, you know, tell you to open your eyes so that our eyes are directly connecting, and I'll say welcome back so that the connection of our eyes will be speaking to the soul pieces that have come back to you. And then we sit down for a little while and we discuss what happened during the soul retrieval so that I can tell you each of the experiences that happened and try to understand as we talk together what that experience meant. Like, what was that that was going on when I got this vision? What was it that was causing that to happen? Do you remember something that was going on when you were 20, 21, and, you know, this particular thing occurred? And then we talk about how you can go about really welcoming those soul pieces back and making them feel a part of you again. And that generally entails, you know, doing things and that you really enjoyed at that particular age, so that that soul energy who's come back to be with you really enjoys it. And being able to also talk to those soul pieces and explain to them that that was then and this is now, and you are a different person than the person who existed back there. Why it's so important that you're back together again and being able to be like one strong, empowered person. I'm sorry. Yeah, I feel so bad, though. I feel like I'm just dominating this whole conversation.
Actually, you're not dominating it at all. I'm in love with this whole story. It's beautiful, and I'm sure our audience loves it too, or I would have interrupted you a long time ago.
Okay.
However, Jerry, let me interrupt at this point. I was waiting for the story to wind down because I want Mark to be able to jump in here if he's still there. I haven't heard from you, Mark. Are you there?
Yeah, I just had the phone muted. I was out in a very, very windy parking lot.
Okay.
So,
can you do the little break for us?
Sure. For everybody who just tuned in, you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and we have a number of shows that run every week now, besides the one on Thursday nights. So to find out what's coming up on our show and also what other shows are running every week or every month, you can go to our website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And while we're at it, Terry, why don't you give out your website so that people can find out how they can get some of these services from you? Because I know you do some messages from Margaret for people, which I've had an experience with, which is incredible. And I know you also do the soul retrieval work, which I've done with you, which I really enjoyed.
Thanks, Mark. The website is jerrygavin.com. It's Jerry with a G, GerryGavin.com. You can also find information about messages from Margaret on Facebook, on facebook.com/messagesfrommargaret. And in addition, on Twitter, I am at Jerry Gavin at Twitter. So there's kind of three different ways to communicate with me.
Now, if I remember correctly, congratulations. I heard you have a radio show on Hay House. How can people listen to that?
I do. Thank you very much. The radio show on Hay House just started. Messages from Margaret was picked up as a Hay House book this past December. And we're doing a radio show called Messages from Margaret that airs every Tuesday, 3 o'clock Pacific time and 6 o'clock Eastern time. And it's a 1 hour program. Each week there's a different topic that we cover. And what we do is kind of spend the first half of the show talking about that particular topic. There's an individual message from Margaret that I put together and write prior to the show that I deliver to the whole listening audience. And normally some really practical tips that she kind of gives on dealing with issues. For example, this last one we just did on in honor of St. Patrick's Day and for these quarters and pots of gold, we did a session on abundance and how you really do bring luck and abundance into your life. Next show coming up, we're actually going to be talking about near-death experiences. And the show right after that is planned to talk about panic and fear and anxieties and, you know, how ideas and techniques that you can deal with for those. And the really great part and the thing I'm loving so much about the show is that in the second half of the show, I actually do channel Margaret and answer questions for people directly who are calling up. And we've been getting callers from all over the world calling up to get advice from her. So it's really been an incredible experience.
Yeah, I think what I'd like to do is to ask you a question and kind of open up a dialogue or discussion about my personal experience of doing soul retrieval with work with you, because I think one of the interesting things that I noticed about that, the part that surprised me, was something that you kind of talked about earlier this evening, and that is, you said, you know, when you do soul retrieval, when you bring back a certain fragment for that individual, it's really important that you create a space within yourself for that piece to come back in, and so it doesn't leave again. It's almost
right.
It's almost like welcoming a friend back into the house and making sure they feel good so they don't leave. So can you talk about that a little bit more? Because I thought that was really interesting that, you know, I know for the, I think we recovered 3 fragments for me when we were doing the work together. And I know you kind of went and talked to me at length about just talking about the nature of, well, you know, you have to make sure that you incorporate these back in, that you give them a space where they feel comfortable. And, you know, as an example, if one of them left because of, like, verbal abuse from one of my parents, you know, I got to make sure I don't have that verbal abuse around me, because then the fragment would leave again, you know, because it wouldn't feel safe being back in my energy again.
Right, right. It's a great point, Mark, and it's kind of because if you picture that soul piece, you know, you have the opportunity, you know, to mature and for your energy to mature over time as a person, so that something that's happened in your past occurred at a time where you aren't as mature in your energy as you are right now. So particularly if something happened in your teens when you were going through all kinds of, hormonal surges in one way or another, and, you know, relationship issues were so hard, or when you were a little child, when those soul pieces come back, they need to be parented, if you will. You kind of need to be the parent to those pieces, and being able to help them feel comfortable with where they have come back to. Because when they left that situation, they stopped the peen of that energy. They kind of went into this void where they were just locked in time, and there was nothing that was then still happening that would cause them to be abused in the way that they were abused, or traumatized in the way that they were traumatized. So what would happen, Mark, like, let's say you lost a soul piece when you were 4 years old. Picture for a minute that energy comes back into you now, and that four-year-old has never seen this world. For that matter, if we think about it, somebody who, a soul piece that left 10 years ago, hasn't seen this world in the same way that it exists right now. I mean, think 10 years ago, there was no Facebook or Twitter, and computers were still just kind of starting up at that point. The cell phones were not as prevalent as now. So it's a whole different world, and that energy, as it comes back into you and now is seeing the world through your eyes, can get very, very nervous, you know, inside of you. It there's an anxiety level that comes up when energy comes into your body, and now it's experiencing life itself. It's experiencing itself again within a human being and going through things that just make no sense to its consciousness. So that's why we talked about it, and I explained why it was so crucial for you to explain things to those pieces. And as silly as it might feel, to literally talk to yourself. Like for a little one, I will often say to people, when you go home tonight, walk around the house and talk to your soul pieces and say, hey, this is where I live now. This is my apartment. This is the kitchen. This is the bathroom. Here's my bedroom. And if, you know, yeah, I just want to open up the closet so you can see there's nothing in the closet that's scary. There's nothing under the bed that's scary. It's a really cool place. It's really fun. And we talk about things that you used to do that were reassuring, comforting things back then. So, you know, even if you're somebody who doesn't necessarily eat junk food now, if you used to love Lucky Charms when you were a little kid, it's not a bad idea to do that, because you're doing something that brings comfort to that piece that's just come back. Going through your yearbook, listening to music you used to love at a particular age. All these things are very powerful in helping those soul pieces to get some sense of familiarity within this new form that they're in, with things that they can at least relate to and say, oh, I remember that. And when you think about it, it's not really even that odd when we just think about ourselves as people. I mean, we can hear a song on the radio that takes us instantly back to the time and the place that we were when we heard that song, you know? And if it's a song that brings back sad memories, it'll do that. If it's something that made us really happy, if it brings back great memories of friends or whatever. So, you know, picture for the fact that that's going to do the same thing for that piece that's come back. And that was why, Mark, when we spoke about it, I really kind of, you know, harped on the importance that once we left that evening, the process of soul retrieval didn't stop. It was still going on with you welcoming those pieces back and befriending those pieces and loving those pieces, because as they came back and they integrated and they became one with you, you would become even more empowered because you were getting your full energy back. It's like, you know, charging a battery, you know.
So, you know, what is the advantage to doing soul retrieval?
What is the damage to it?
No, what is the advantage? Why would someone bother?
Oh, the advantage. Well, the primary advantage is because you're without those soul pieces, we very often repeat the same patterns of behavior. It's like if you pictured yourself having a structure of, I'm just going to use as an example. Let's say you had 100 big cells in your body, and that was what made up your energy. And you had these soul losses that caused maybe 15 of those pieces to leave you. What would wind up happening is now you have this kind of gaping energy hole, and your brain knows and your body knows that you need to fill that energy. So what winds up generally happening, because like energy attracts, you wind up attracting to you similar energy that caused that energy to leave in the first place. So if, and this is why we repeat patterns in our lives. So if you had a verbally abusive mother and father, and you're looking to, you know, that energy is out there and it's this big hole in you, you're going to wind up attracting to you energy of verbally abusive people. If you've had other kinds of situations in your life, you'll find yourself repeating patterns of behavior, and people will do everything they can to change those patterns, and they just can't figure out why it's happened. And there are much more profound instances of this, too. There are situations where people have gone through, I'll give you a really, for me, a profound example. And I know, Mark, before you had soul retrieval, we had talked about this one. Years ago, I did soul retrieval on a woman who was in her 30s. She was in her mid-30s, and it was really interesting because when I met her, she, although being in her mid-30s, she seemed like a little girl. She dressed very, very young. I don't even mean youthful, like a teenager. She dressed almost like she would be a little girl, and she had this little girly kind of voice and very little maturity for someone her age, and she made the decision that she wanted to do soul retrieval after we had, you know, kind of done a diagnostic sort of thing. And when we did the soul retrieval, one of the things that came up almost immediately was the age of 3, and I saw a very clear visual of there being childhood sexual abuse that had taken place. And it was, even in the vision of that, it was extremely traumatic. And bringing that little one back was kind of hard because she was very happy where she was. She didn't want to come back, but, you know, eventually we were able to convince her to come back. And that's kind of a touchy thing when you come out of that soul retrieval to talk about, because when something that traumatic happens, you can't just say to someone, hey, this happened to you, I saw this and this is what occurred, because that in itself can cause like a newer level of trauma, because then the person wants to know, well, what happened? When did it happen? Who was it? Did you see who it was? So more so, you want to let the person, through their own consciousness and through that soul piece coming back, remember what it was, either really remembering it or just allowing the energy to kind of find its right place. But the next morning was really curious for me, because she called me up, and I didn't even know it was her, because her voice was so very different than the voice of the woman that I had known. It had more depth to it. It sounded more mature. And she asked me if the three-year-old that I had said was kind of an uncertain energy, but there was a strong trauma about it, if there had been a childhood sexual abuse that I saw then, because she had dreamt during the night and she felt really clear that something had happened, almost as though she saw it. So at that point, I could share with her that, yes, this is what I had gotten. And she said, you know, what's really interesting is I went into the shower this morning to take a shower, and she said, I looked down at myself, and from my knees up through my thighs and in my groin area, I'm all black and blue. And she said, that to me, I just, you know, realized from what I was feeling, but then looking at myself, I realized that that was what happened. And, you know, and she wasn't being traumatized by it at that point, you know, now, but to me, that was such an incredible thing to realize that when that energy came back into the body, not only did it come back on a mental level, but physically, the cells of the body remembered that experience and took on the physical characteristics that, you know, caused that to come up. And she had such a major change of life at that point in time. She left a job that she hated with such a passion, but because she was always too afraid to talk back to her boss or do anything like that. She quit the job. She moved to a different state. She got a wonderful new job. She found a terrific relationship in less than a year after that, and has just continued. We speak every couple of years, and she's just doing amazing at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the what is the difference? Now, when we talk about people ending personal relationships with partners, I know in the spiritual world we talk a lot about cutting cords. We talk about the fact that there's different types of techniques based on the modality that talks about you sending their energy back to that individual and you pulling some of your energy back. Now, to me, that seems different than soul retrieval. What do you think?
It is different, Mark, and I think that's where when we're talking about sending energy back and pulling energy back, that goes more to the first thing that we were talking about when Pam and I were talking about when I do shamanic body work that may actually be locked in someone's body or even in just the energy field around them. That's different than soul retrieval because the energy is existing there at that point in time. It's in the cells of your body. It's in the cells of the energy around you. And in that sense, you're returning that energy to someone else, or you're working on retrieving energy from someone else that they may be holding on to. But it's different than a soul split. It's different than when that whole piece of energy actually leaves your energetic field and goes off in space and time and locks itself into a particular space and time where we kind of need to go look for it and find it and bring it back. So it's different than cutting cords. There are times when we're doing the other kind of work where if we're giving energy back to a person, if you're holding on to energy on a person, we may find that energy and you may blow it into a rock or something else where that energy goes there. And you can go out and you can bury it in the earth, and that energy can then kind of recycle itself and, you know, go back into the earth or go be sent back to the person. But that's different than soul retrieval. Where it's not different, though, Mark, is that there are times when soul loss can actually occur on a voluntary level, where you will literally give away your soul to another person during a period of time. And that really happens in extreme cases of codependence or something like that, where you love someone so dearly that you will continually give away and give away and give away pieces of your soul to that person. And the damage, the psychic damage to you is just so extreme that your brain finally says, you know what, just we have to stop this from happening because you're going to kill yourself. And it rips that away from you and kind of tries to put it into a safe place so that you don't do any more to damage yourself. So there are times you can literally choose to give those soul pieces away.
Ben, do you have questions?
Well, we're actually out of time. We have about 3 minutes left here, Mark. So I think I'm enjoying this so much. I've really loved this show. Thank you so much, Jerry. It was a pleasure.
Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Is there anything that you'd like to tell our audience in sort of closing, a tip or something, and you know, something that you could give them to help a little bit before they do their soul retrieval with you?
Well, one of the things I would like to say is that, you know, people will sometimes say, are there any sort of telltale signs that someone might need soul retrieval work? And I would definitely say, if you are noticing that you are repeating over and over certain cycles where you think you found a whole different person, and it turns out that is the same type of person again, it just takes longer for that person's characteristics to surface, you probably are drawing that energy to you over and over. If there's a period of your life that you have no memory for, there's kind of black holes in your memory and you don't know why that is, that could be a possibility. If you have physical ailments that you cannot find any reason for, but they keep coming up over and over, that could be an indication of soul loss. And certainly if you're going through any kind of addiction. Addictions very, very often are due to soul loss, where you're trying to fill that space with something to be able to bring back some sense of feeling, some sense of who you are. So in those areas, very much I would say there's a good chance that there could be some level of soul loss that's happened. And please, you know, reach out to me again. It's jerrygavin.com, and I would be happy to try to help in whatever way we can.
Well, thanks, Jerry. Thank you so much. Let's wind down now. Mark, you want to just close the show for me?
Sure. excuse me. Yeah, so you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio, and it's great to have everybody, you know, listening. Always remember, if you go to our link up on Blog Talk, which you can get to from our regular radio website, which is www.spiritualconnectionsradio.com, you'll see there's a link where you can actually get to the live shows. If you go to that same link, you can actually go and replay any of the shows that you hear. And all the shows are in our archives there, so feel free to go back and listen to all those shows and everything like that. So, Pam, if you want to go ahead and fire off our closing song and then shut down the show, we'll call it a night. And thank you for listening.
Well, thank you so much. And, Jerry, thank you. It was a lovely show, and you're an amazing guest. I appreciate the help.
Thank you so much, Pam. It was great to be on again.
Great. Good night.
Good night.